Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Internal Family Systems Workbook, a guide to discover yourself and heal your parts, is a practical self-guided resource based on the Internal Family Systems model developed by Richard C. Schwartz. Positioned within the Sounds True Inner Workbook series, it translates a major contemporary psychotherapy framework into structured reflection, written exercises, and inner dialogue practices. The book presents the mind as a system of parts rather than a single, uniform personality, and it teaches readers to approach conflicted inner experiences with curiosity rather than judgment. Its central purpose is not to eliminate unwanted emotions or behaviors, but to help readers distinguish protective parts, wounded parts, and the calm core self that can lead the inner system. The workbook is intended for people interested in self-understanding, trauma-informed healing, and emotional integration, while also being useful to therapists and coaches who want accessible IFS-based exercises for clients. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, mapping the inner system to the IFS parts model. A central topic of the workbook is the IFS claim that the mind is naturally multiple. Rather than treating contradictory impulses as evidence of weakness or disorder, the book asks readers to identify them as parts with their own concerns, histories, and strategies. This matters because many inner conflicts become more understandable when they are seen as interactions among subpersonalities, rather than as a single failed self. A perfectionistic voice, an avoidant impulse, a fearful childlike reaction, and a numbing habit can all be examined as parts trying to serve a purpose. The workbook format makes this model concrete by encouraging observation, naming, journaling, and dialogue. Mapping parts helps readers separate from immediate emotional fusion. Instead of saying, "I am anxious" or "I am self-destructive," this small shift creates space for curiosity and reduces shame. The value of the exercise is practical once a reader can see a pattern as a relationship among parts. The next step is not suppression, but negotiation, understanding, and eventual integration under self-leadership. Secondly, understanding managers, firefighters, and exiles as protective roles. The workbook relies on the well-known IFS distinction among managers, firefighters, and exiles. Managers try to prevent emotional pain through control, planning, self-criticism, caretaking, or perfectionism. Firefighters react when pain breaks through, often using urgent strategies such as distraction, impulsivity, anger, withdrawal, or numbing. Exiles are the vulnerable parts that carry fear, grief, shame, or trauma-based beliefs. This framework is important because it explains why many behaviors that look irrational may have a protective logic. A harsh inner critic may be trying to prevent rejection. A numbing habit may be trying to keep unbearable memories out of awareness. The workbook encourages readers to slow down and ask what each part is protecting against, rather than treating symptoms as enemies. This does not excuse harmful behavior, but it changes the intervention. If protectors are forced away too quickly, they may become stronger because they fear exposure of the exile they guard. By teaching readers to understand roles and intentions, the book offers a stepwise path toward cooperation within the system. Healing becomes less about overpowering defenses and more about earning trust from the parts that created them. Thirdly, accessing self-energy as the organizing principle of healing, the book places the self at the center of IFS practice. In this model, self is not another part competing for control, but a core capacity marked by qualities such as calmness, curiosity, compassion, clarity, confidence, courage, creativity, and connectedness. The workbook uses this idea to distinguish genuine inner leadership from another managerial strategy. A reader who approaches a difficult part with impatience, disgust, or a hidden agenda to remove it is likely blended with another part. By contrast, self-led attention is patient enough to listen and clear enough to set boundaries. This distinction is clinically and practically significant because many self-help approaches unintentionally encourage readers to improve themselves from a place of self-rejection. IFS reverses that sequence. Acceptance and understanding are not rewards for improvement, but conditions that make change possible. Exercises that cultivate self-energy help readers notice when they are fused with fear, anger, shame, or control, then gently step back. The goal is not passive acceptance of every impulse. It is the development of an inner leadership stance that can relate to all parts without being overwhelmed by any single one. Fourthly, unburdening wounded parts without pathologizing them. Another major theme is unburdening, the IFS process through which wounded parts release extreme beliefs, emotions, or roles they acquired in painful circumstances. The workbook presents healing as a relational process inside the person protectors. First need reassurance that the reader can remain self-led, and exiles need to be witnessed rather than forced open. This emphasis makes the approach trauma-informed because it warns against pushing directly into vulnerable material before the internal system is ready. The point is not to relive pain for its own sake, but to update parts that remain organized around past danger, shame, abandonment, or helplessness. The phrase "no bad parts" is crucial here. Even parts that carry intense distress or create disruptive behavior are understood as holding burdens, not as being inherently defective. This reduces moralizing and allows readers to engage difficult experiences with more precision. Unburdening also implies that change is not merely cognitive insight. A part may intellectually know that the past is over while still emotionally living inside it. The workbook, therefore, uses experiential practices, reflection, and compassionate contact to support deeper emotional revision. Lastly, using workbook exercises to translate therapy concepts into daily practice, the distinctive value of this book lies in its workbook structure. IFS can sound simple at the conceptual level, but the actual practice requires attention to sequence, pacing, and internal consent. Exercises, prompts, and guided reflections help readers move from abstract agreement to lived observation. The book invites readers to notice triggers, identify which part is active, sense how that part appears emotionally or bodily, ask what it fears, and listen for what it needs from self. This format is useful because many people cannot access inner complexity through explanation alone. Writing and guided inquiry slow the process enough to reveal patterns that normally operate automatically. The workbook also makes clear that self-work has limits. Some readers, especially those with severe trauma, dissociation, or overwhelming symptoms, may need professional support rather than relying only on solitary exercises. That limitation does not weaken the book. It clarifies responsible use. Its practical contribution is to give readers a structured language and method for everyday moments of reactivity, self-criticism, avoidance, and emotional flooding, while keeping the emphasis on curiosity, consent, and compassion rather than force. In conclusion, this workbook is best suited for readers who want a structured, compassionate method for understanding inner conflict, especially those already drawn to internal family systems, trauma-informed self-inquiry, or parts-based therapy. It can also benefit therapists, coaches, and group facilitators who want accessible exercises that introduce IFS concepts without requiring readers to begin with a technical clinical textbook. The practical benefit is a clearer way to track emotional reactions, instead of treating anxiety, anger, avoidance, or self-criticism as isolated problems. Readers learn to ask which part is active, what it is protecting, and how self can relate to it. The intellectual benefit is a non-pathologizing model of personality that explains why contradictory impulses can coexist and why protective behaviors often persist even when they cause suffering. Compared with many self-help books, it stands out because it does not rely mainly on positive thinking, discipline, or symptom control. Compared with more theoretical IFS texts, it emphasizes direct practice and repeatable exercises. Its strongest differentiator is the combination of Schwartz's established IFS framework with a workbook format that lets readers apply the model carefully, concretely, and at their own pace. If you would like to support Richard C. Schwartz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.